Okay, we're going to call the Senate Resources Committee to order, and we do have the full committee here present for our first hearing of this second year of the session. And we've got present Senator Wagner, French, my co-chairman, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Stedman, Stevens, and Senator Huggins. And today, we're going to walk through the omnibus bill that we have prepared after the end of a long journey of a year of work this committee has done traveling around Alaska, taking public testimony, and also on those trips, tours of the energy projects underway in different parts of Alaska, both rural and urban, getting a firsthand look at the challenges that people are facing in our state with respect to energy infrastructure and cost. And so I'm going to turn it over to my co-chairman to say a few words, and then we've got our two key staff on the subject. And I want to say thank you both to them, to Michelle and to Mike, for their work that they have put in bringing this all together. It's a lot of work, heavy lifting, and it continues to be as modifications are made throughout. But the omnibus bill is a collection of the work that we've done and those policy recommendations. On every member's desk and available for the public on our website is the larger 52-page state energy policy and program recommendations that people should feel free to look through. And again, we'll invite public testimony later on in the process. Today we'll hear from the staff. Tomorrow we'll hear from invited testimony, the key administrative individuals and those that have had input in the process. So, Senator Wilikowski, did you want to say a few words?
Just very briefly, I wanted to thank the fellow senators who participated in this and also their staff. It really was a collaborative effort, and tremendous help from my staffer, Michelle Seideman, and also Shelley Morgan, and I know Mike Pulaski is now on board, and also Trevor Fulton, yes, who's in the back, really deserves a lot of credit. He did a tremendous job as well. And we did travel every corner of the state, and we heard from the people of Alaska, and we heard from experts in this field, and we researched what other states are doing, and we looked at what other countries in the world are doing. We came up with some policy recommendations. We have a bill which we think will go a long way towards helping move Alaska forward on energy issues. We'll be coming out with some appropriation recommendations, I'm guessing tomorrow. Yeah. And I look forward to a productive session working with our colleagues on the committee and trying to make some major impacts that can really have long-lasting impact on energy policy in the state of Alaska for generations to come.
Wonderful. And I do want to open it up to any of the other members of the committee and just point out that every person on the Resources Committee has been involved, and their staff have been involved and really contributing to the process. So it hasn't just been Senator Wilikowski and I. And I want to thank you all for dedicating your staff to us through the interim for that as well. Are there any other comments that members would like to make this time? Okay, well then let's go ahead and turn it over to Michelle to lead us through the draft.
Hi, my name is Michelle Seideman, and I serve as staff to Senator Bill Wilikowski, representing Muldoon and Mountain View and Anchorage. During the interim, I also helped to support the work of the combined Energy and Resources Committees as they sought to identify ways to lower energy costs and provide more reliable and sustainable sources of energy to Alaskans. Before I begin walking through SB 220, I'd like to recognize members of this committee who played a key role in developing the proposed Alaska Sustainable Energy Act. Senator Stedman set our interim work in motion by expressing his desire to see the full range of energy bills before moving any one bill. Even before the end of last session, he got us started thinking about what should be part of an omnibus energy bill. We are indebted to his farsightedness. Senator McGuire was the first to heed his call. She committed to holding field hearings around the state to collect Alaskans' best ideas about how Alaska can move towards greater energy independence. She brought us to Tanana, Ruby, Haines, and Fairbanks, to name a few locations. As you all know, Senator McGuire's energy and enthusiasm for coming up with new ideas and fleshing them out is spectacular and almost unparalleled. I wish we could harness it and power the rail belt and heat the bush with it. Many of the ideas in this bill come from her and her able staff. Senator Stevens hosted the Joint Committee in Kodiak and the small Kodiak Island community of Yuzinki, where we saw new wind turbines reducing reliance on low-cost diesel, on high-cost diesel, heard from fish processors who are turning fish waste into biodiesel, and learned just how much rural energy costs can be reduced when community generators are made to be more efficient. Senator Stevens has been a great supporter of the interim committee and made sure the committee had the funds to do a credible job. Hail to our chief. Senators French and Wagoner each participated in the field hearing. Senator Wagoner brought his extensive knowledge of energy issues and interest in finding practical solutions to Alaska's energy challenges. Senator French brought an eagerness to learn more, critical analysis of the ideas we heard, and openness to the broad range of recommendations we received. Senator Huggins' schedule precluded him from attending many of the field hearings, but his focus on developing long-term, reliable sources of energy for Alaskans is clear to us all. He is a rock on which resource policies can be debated in a cool, thoughtful, and informed manner. We look forward to having him immersed in the bill now that it's finally before us. Let me offer one last acknowledgement. I hate planning and planning documents of all kinds, and resisted my boss, Senator Wilikowski's, interest in developing an energy plan until there was no more use resisting. Senator Wilikowski was absolutely committed to looking critically at Alaska's energy challenges and identifying changes in statute or program funding levels that would make life better for Alaskan families and businesses. He was resolute in his desire that we look broadly and methodically at what the legislature could do to help the average Alaskan. This document, this is the plan that all of us worked throughout the interim to put together, is the product of his insistence and Senator McGuire's passion and persistence. They provided the direction, and the work was carried out by a team that included Trevor Fulton, now in Senator Bundy's office, Shelley Morgan, another one of Senator Wilikowski's staffers, and me. I can't say that their interims included much lazing around or long coffee breaks. We all worked hard and steadily to get the committee a draft plan and then draft legislation that it could review and shape. Thanks to both of them, and now to Fish, our newly returned colleague who is an amazing asset to the team. I also want to recognize our counterparts in the House. The House Energy Committee, co-chaired by Representative Edgman and Millett, has been engaged in a similar effort over the interim. We have benefited from their excellent work, particularly on a draft state energy policy, which we are all proposing be adopted into statute. The House assembled a stakeholder advisory panel that led this effort to developing an energy policy. We are indebted to them for their volunteer service, and to Adam Berg and Jeff Turner, staff to the House Energy Committee, for sharing this work product with Senate staff. We are hopeful that we can continue to share ideas and collaborate as House and Senate bills move through the legislative process. The bill you have before you today is a starting point for discussion. It's a compilation of bills that were introduced and debated last year, as well as ideas we heard from the public over the interim. I have no doubt additional concepts will be added before this bill leaves the Resources Committee. And now I'll start to walk through the bill. So the bill is in your files, SB 220. And finally, just a thanks from me. This was a wonderful interim project and a real joy to work on, and I really hope there'll be something meaningful and long-lasting that comes out of it. So thanks to each of you.
Thank you for your presentation today and accolades of everyone. It is important when you take a year of your life to commit to something to thank people, and I appreciate it. You're very gracious.
Okay, maybe before we actually do the sectional walkthrough, I want to give committee members a fairly brief overview of the components of this bill. I'd say we drew from at least eight existing bills, and I'm going to quickly identify those. In your packet, you also have the document that I'll be speaking from. It looks like this and like this. If anyone doesn't have copies there in the audience, there should be plenty of copies right outside the room. So just to start off with, we do include intent language in this bill that stipulates that Alaska will achieve a 15% increase in energy efficiency per capita by 2020 and meet 50% of its electrical needs through renewable energy by 2025. So that's simply intent language, but that is one of the key parts of the bill. Another bill we included is SB 121. It's a bill that Senator Wilikowski introduced last year. It's a bill that calls for the state to focus more attention on ensuring that its own facilities are energy efficient and that we're spending as little money as we can on energy as we run our state government. So most of you know the state owns about 1,800 public facilities. In some of these, I think there are at least 8 buildings that have been retrofitted in recent years by the Department of Transportation. And in these 8 buildings, electrical use was cut by 22%, natural gas use by 15%, and fuel oil by 36%. So retrofitting buildings makes sense, and that's part of what we call for in this omnibus bill. Second part of the bill is SB 31. It's a renewable energy production tax credit that Senator McGuire introduced last year. Across the nation, we're seeing production incentives being used to encourage more development of renewable energy resources. My understanding is that there are 25 states that have some sort of renewable energy corporate tax credit, so we'd be joining a list of about half the states in the country. So, and Fish will provide more detail on that part of the bill when we get to the sectional walkthrough. Another bill that's included in here is SB 150, also introduced last year by Senator McGuire. It would create an Emerging Energy Technology Fund, and again, to offer one more acknowledgement, Gwen Holdman of the Center for Energy and Power, I'm not sure if Gwen's in the room right now, but she is a spark plug for new energy innovations in the state. She's been a big advocate for this idea. Basically, there's currently little or no state funding available for research and development of new energy technologies. So this fund would provide a place to put funds in the future that could go to the university and others that are pushing the envelopes and not just giving us off-the-shelf technologies, which is what the Renewable Energy Fund is directed to do. SB 186 is a bill about the Renewable Energy Fund. My understanding is this bill probably originated in the House Energy Committee. That's my guess. The bill would require that funded projects, those projects funded through the Renewable Energy Fund, have a verifiable financial benefit that exceeds the amount of grant funds received. So it's an intent to make sure that we're really spending those Renewable Energy Fund monies well and getting a good bang for our buck. HB 196 is a House bill. Again, I'm presuming that it came out of the House Energy Committee, and I can verify that with Adam and Jeff, who are sitting in back. But my understanding is that there was an alternative energy loan fund that was active in the 1980s. It was used to create or to purchase, construct, and install small-scale alternative energy systems. And this part of our bill would revive the fund and amend some of its terms. Another bill, SB 71, our former colleague Senator Theriault introduced last year, and your former colleague Senator Theriault. What it does is asks the state to incorporate viable renewable energy systems into any new public works projects if it makes economic sense to do so. So it directs the administration to always look at renewables when building in new public facilities. Finally, we have a section of this bill that has to do with the state of Alaska leading by example, and the bill would require the executive branch to set energy efficiency targets for all state agencies, to use energy-efficient equipment and vehicles when it's cost-effective to do so, and to for the Alaska Energy Authority to establish a statewide fuel buying cooperative. There's plenty of evidence that Energy Star appliances, which are highly efficient appliances, can save upwards of 60% in terms of energy consumption, and vehicles that are even 10% more efficient than our current state fleet could save the state nearly $500,000 annually. So it makes sense to look at what we can do as a state to cut our costs and be smarter about the money we spend. A fuel buying cooperative, which we've talked to some within the Alaska Energy Authority about and also heard about, rural Alaskans in particular said, you know, please, if we could all get together and buy fuel, we could buy in greater quantities, get a better price, and everyone would benefit, schools, businesses, local governments. So one of the things this bill does is direct the Energy Authority to work to create a statewide fuel buying cooperative. Finally, there was one more bill that we had thought was included in this, and just yesterday I found out that it was not included, but we've drafted an amendment. It's ready to go and in your packets to include the a bill introduced by Senator Stedman last year to expand the purposes of the Southeast Energy Fund. And I apologize that I thought it was already in the omnibus and I goofed. So apologies, Senator Stedman. We will rectify that, assuming it's the will of the committee to do so and that you would like us to do so. So are there questions before we start walking through the bill or any comments?
Questions? And again, this is day one. We'll continue to work our way through both this and the capital requests that accompany it, but no questions. Okay.
Okay. So I guess it would make sense to flip through the bill as we do this. So section one on page one just sets the short title of the bill, which is the Alaska Sustainable Energy Act. It also sets that legislative intent that I referred to earlier, stating that it is the intent of the legislature that the state achieve a 10% increase in energy efficiency by 2015 and a 15% increase in energy efficiency by 2020. So this is will not be enforceable, but it sets our sites at where we want to be. Also states that we will attempt to generate 50% of our electricity statewide from renewable energy sources.
Michelle, if I might add, for the record, this is Mike Pawlowski's staff to Senator Lisa McGuire. The third bullet point also says work to ensure a reliable in-state gas supply for residents in the state.
Okay, and Mike should feel free to jump in. We've been so busy that getting this bill together that we, as he said, we're rusty at the committee staff business, but we'll improve. Okay, Energy Efficiency Grant Fund. I'm going to skip to that, although Section 4. Okay, Section 4 provides the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation with the power to provide technical assistance to municipalities regarding their adoption if they're interested in energy codes and efficiency standards. So last year you had a bill before you that would have adopted a state energy standard. We've pulled back from that and are simply providing the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation with the power, which some might say they have already, to help communities interested in adopting standards. Section 5, which is on page 2, creates an energy efficiency grant fund for providing grants to municipalities, unincorporated communities, school districts, and the University of Alaska. Just this morning we met with Senator Hoffman, who's very interested in the idea of providing grants to school districts to help them cut their energy costs. Already in the bill, we basically have a placeholder for that concept. Section 6 on page 3 tasks DOT with reviewing the option of using alternative energy when adopting plans and specifications for public works. That comes straight from SB 21 that I referred to earlier. Section 7 on page 4 provides that the state shall give preference in procurement for appliances and equipment that have received an Energy Star under the Energy Star program of the U.S. EPA and the U.S. Department of Energy. Again, the effort there is to lead by example and cut state operating costs. Section 8, also on page 4, amends a provision of the Renewable Energy Grant Fund regarding the methodology for determining the order of projects to receive funding and requiring activity reports to be filed by grant recipients. Some of this, the Alaska Energy Authority may already be evolving into doing. I think they have done a lot of work to improve their process. Section 9 is on page 5. It amends the Renewable Energy Fund statute by requiring the Alaska Energy Authority to hire an economist to prepare a written evaluation of each grant proposal. Section 10 is also on page 5. It tasks the Alaska Energy Authority with organizing or providing for the organization of a statewide fuel buying cooperative.
And for the record, again, this is Mike for Senator McGuire. Section 11 goes from page 5 through page 7 and incorporates a bill. The next two sections are rather awkward in that they are bills that have actually moved past the Resources Committee, but bringing them back into the omnibus, I think it's important to recognize that. We have made changes in Section 11, which is related to the Emerging Energy Technology Fund. Over the interim, the Denali Commission, working with the stakeholder groups identified in the bill, actually started to do some dry runs of this Emerging Energy Technology Fund using purely federal dollars. As you were aware when you worked on the bill last year, there was a lot of federal money for innovation in the stimulus bill, and so some of it was directed to try and work through some of the issues and identify what problems might have been in the process identified in Section 11. One of the fundamental changes that we've made right out of the gate is to repeal the word "or loans" from the section. The original bill was passed as grants or loans, but looking at the university system, the capacity to actually make a loan did not exist. And so we felt that removing that language was prudent going forward. Over the next few weeks, we'll hear more from the stakeholder group that's worked on this about some best practices, oversight issues related to the grant fund. But the root goal is still the same, and that's to provide a mechanism to fund the next generation of energy technologies in Alaska. Section 12 picks up on page 7, and Section 12, 13, going all the way through to page 10, is the former SB 31, which was the renewable energy, which became the alternative energy production tax credit. Alternative energy production tax credit became the renewable energy production tax credit. This was also a bill that had passed Resources, but generally provides a transferable tax credit with some limitations to renewable energy projects within the state of Alaska. This is, as Michelle noted earlier, a common incentive that's offered in several states around the country and has been demonstrated to actually lead to spurring some of the development of these projects. No changes were really made to this section, but I'm sure this is one we'll be working on as well over the future period. And with that, that's section 14.
Okay, I'm going to pick up with section 14. That's on page 10. Section 14 of the bill tasks the Department of Transportation with updating the Energy Use Index database and conducting an energy audit of public facilities that are determined to have substantial energy efficiency. I hope we said energy inefficiency, not energy efficiency. Okay. Section 15 is on the following page. That's page 11. It tasks DOT with retrofitting all public facilities listed in the Energy Use Index and allows for the department to enter into performance contracting for energy efficiency. And last year we had some experts in performance contracting come before the committee. The basic concept there is that somebody is willing to these companies come in, they carry out the construction, they do the construction retrofits and don't ask for any money up front. They're simply paid back. As the state saves money on energy, they receive that money and are paid back. Once they're done, the state just keeps those savings. So again, those buildings identified as needing retrofitting, we tasked DOT with going out and finding performance contractors to do that work. Section 16, also on page 11, requires DOT to annually determine an appropriate energy conservation target for each public building and report the energy conservation targets for all buildings to each state agency, to the relevant state agency. So state agencies really buy into the fact that we're expecting them to do their best to cut their costs. Again, the attempt here is to lead by example. Section 17 is on page 12. It requires the Alaska Energy Authority to annually plan and conduct, in cooperation with AHFC, a public education campaign to promote energy efficiency and conservation. Based on what other states have done, it appears that there are lots of things that the average household can do to cut its costs substantially. We want to get that information out to the public. I know AEA is committed to doing this work. They don't have clear statutory authority to do so. This bill provides that authority and that mandate.
And I just make a point on that, too. A big thanks again to Senator Hoffman and Stedman for instituting the weatherization program. And it's from that program and the interaction that the department, the agency, had with individual Alaskans trying to digest that assessment of their home and how to improve the energy efficiency that we got this idea. That the average Alaskan really would take many of the steps to improve energy efficiency if they simply knew what they were.
Okay. Section 18 at the bottom of page 12, it requires the Alaska Energy Authority to establish an energy use index for all public facilities, and I've previously referred to that. Section 19 is at the top of page 13. And it declares a state energy policy, and this is where our debt to the House springs from. The House established a fairly large stakeholder group, and I meant to bring up the names of all of the people that served on that group, but a diverse range of Alaskans really committed to sustainable energy development and energy efficiency. That group developed this policy. We've tweaked it a little bit. We'll be talking with our House staff colleagues about the tweaks we've proposed. But basically, the work is there. So this really comes from Representative Edgeman and Representative Millett's efforts. Okay, Section 20. That is midway down page 14. This amends the Alternative Energy Revolving Loan Fund by adding funding sources or changing the funding sources for the loan. So there are not big changes here. Section 21, also at the bottom of page 14, states that loans from the Alternative Energy Revolving Loan Fund may only be made for alternative energy systems located within the state. Just a small clarification there. Section 22, it's the top of page 15. This amends the loan terms of loans made from this Alternative Energy Revolving Loan Fund to add a security requirement, and it resets the interest rate. Section 23 amends, and that is right halfway down the page 14, amends the definition of alternative energy system as it relates to the Alternative Energy Revolving Loan Fund. Section 24 on the next page repeals some statutes that are, I guess, outdated from the Revolving Loan Fund. I need to check on that before we look at this next. Section 25 of the bill, maybe you want to speak to this, Fish. It repeals January 1, 2025, is the Renewable Energy Production Tax Credit established in Section 13 of this bill, and maybe you want
to
answer.
For the record, this is Mike again from Senator McGuire's office. You'll see in Section 25 and 26, these are both sections actually deal with the end of the incentive program, is my understanding. And just as I understand it, looking back, the will was to not provide an incentive that lasts forever, but to cut it off at a certain point, and this provides 2025 as the date for that.
Section 27 simply directs the Energy Authority to establish the Energy Use Index database no later than 6 months after the effective date of this act. Section 28, also on page 16, requires DOT to submit an energy performance report to the legislature regarding its energy efficiency achievements and the measures it's taken. And section 29, which is at the bottom of page 16, requires the Department of Administration to submit a plan to the legislature to reduce state energy use by 10% by 2015 and provide interim progress reports. So we're trying to build in some accountability there in terms of carrying through on the legislative intent. So that's an overview, and as I say, I apologize for the places where I'm weak on this bill. It was a team effort, and various people contributed different pieces of this. And Fish and I are going to have to burn up on all of those pieces.
Okay. Questions from the committee at this time? Senator Wilikowski.
Madam Chair, just we'll have additional recommendations on financial recommendations as well, because a lot of the things that we want to do that were recommended to us in our process are financial recommendations. And so Senator McGuire and I will be releasing a list of those recommendations tomorrow.
Yeah, for those that aren't aware, but my understanding is that the co-chairs will be holding a press conference at 11 tomorrow in this room, I believe, 11:15, to release their recommended budget figures for the review and consideration by the Finance Committee.
Said very graciously. So we will at 11:15 tomorrow be here to answer questions on that. We'll release the list of capital infrastructure investment ideas to be forwarded to the Finance Committee, and then also we'll have the omnibus bill along with the state energy policy and program recommendations. Mike.
And Madam Chair, this is Mike for the record. We should be getting updated fiscal notes at some point in the future as well for the provisions of the omnibus itself.
Okay. So we'll make those available to the committee. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I look at page 2, line 6, and work to ensure reliable interstate gas supply for residents of the state. Good.
Yeah.
What I don't see, though, is there are some people that have major influence that talk about importing LNG and other kinds of items. And the question is whether we want to have a provision or if it's appropriate in here that addresses a preference to our energy sources that we produce ourselves versus becoming an importer, for lack of a better term. Because we listen to the president talking about not being or being self-sufficient, but what I see here, only though it's sort of a goal about in-state, it doesn't address the business of moving towards importations for any reason or another.
That's an excellent point. So why don't we make that a point that we continue to talk about? I don't disagree that we could make it stronger. And there are other provisions that are coming into this omnibus bill that Senator Wilikowski and I had to do further work on regarding an in-state gas preference for petrochemical and gas to liquids projects. And so that will spark, I think, a lot of discussion about in-state gas, how we develop it to use within our state, how we incentivize it. Are there other thoughts about that? Right now, page 2, line 6.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
This is Mike for Senator McGuire. Senator Huggins, through the chair, I'd also point, as you think through this idea, to section 19 on page 13. There are provisions related to your observation, particularly in subsection A and B, related to domestic natural resources. And we should be conscious that your suggestion goes to both sections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great point.
Thank you.
Anything else members have? Any other questions? Senator French.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Maybe just a clarification. I think I caught in your introduction and overview the difference between emerging energy and renewable energy, but maybe you could sketch out how alternative energy is different or the same to the previous two topics.
Senator French, through the chair, I'm not sure that I'm able to do that at the moment. I know that there is passion about which term is used, but I don't know really what's underneath all of that passion. I know that many of the statutes in this omnibus have their own definitions that describe exactly what falls in under it. So in some cases, renewable energy in one statutory section may mean something a little different than in another, because they seem to be defined for the purposes of this or that act.
I guess I'll just say that I trust that at some point we'll iron that out so it's crystal clear, so we know. I mean, if we're creating new funds for places to put money, I see a definition for renewable, and it kind of jibes on page 10, line 5 and 6. That jibes with what I would have guessed renewable energy is. And I thought the description, as I say, that alternative is something that's maybe not off the shelf, more cutting edge. No, I'm sorry, that's emerging. Emerging, I got that from the overview, but I didn't get a feel for how alternative is the same as or different from those other two.
Senator French, through the chair, I will say that we looked at the definition of alternative energy as used in that part of the omnibus, and when we looked at the definition, it looked like renewable energy to us, so that seemed to be satisfactory.
Maybe they'll come together at some point.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In the whispering back and forth here at the committee, it was suggested possibly that we take a look at that amendment for the Southeast Energy Fund, but include in the bill. But what I'd like to see the committee consider is that we go forward and work on the bill. I want to check on the fund funding capacity, or the location, I guess, of it, because we're in the process of closing down a lot of specialty funds at the finance table. There's going to be a litany of special interest funds that are all going to be closed and merged into the general fund, and that'll be a work in progress. So I think it'd be more timely to wait on the Southeast issue, and I think there's interest in also trying to deal with Kodiak's issue, and we can work through the process and maybe come up with a committee substitute bill after we've worked on it a while with some technical changes.
Got it. Sounds good. Senator French.
Maybe just one more while we've got a few minutes, and it's on page 4, lines 25 through 27. It's talking about the placement of projects in a list, or the placement of projects in sort of a priority list, I guess, and the idea is to find projects that are likely to have a financial benefit that exceeds the amount of the grant funds received. Maybe I could ask about where that, just some background on that language, and how realistic it is, because I think we all recognize that state funds or some sort of investment is normally necessary to get these technologies sort of off the ground and launched and started, and it's probably likely that they're not going to exceed the financial benefits. You've got to have some startup costs there before you actually get these things running. And so maybe you can explain why that language is there, how tough you see it as being, and what sort of guidance it gives to the Finance Committee or others of us as we try to prioritize the many, many projects that come to us with a limited supply of money.
Senator French, through the chair, I will have to get back to you on this language. It's language that came from a House bill. I believe there was also a Senate bill introduced that was a companion last year. I have spoken to people at the Alaska Energy Authority about this language. They're asking us whether it's truly necessary, so there's going to have to be more discussion about it, and we will get back to the committee and follow up on your question.
Thank you.
And it does say most weight, so it doesn't appear to exclude it, but I see your point that equation may be difficult to come up with. Okay. So, further questions? Yes, Senator Stevens.
I want to find Senate Bill 71 on alternative energy systems for public works. I'm sure you mentioned that, but I must have registered with me.
Senator Stevens, for the chair, I did mention it, and I'm looking through my notes right now to get right to it. Page 3, I'm told, from behind.
Yeah, there it is. Page 3, Section 6.
Okay. Section 6.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else staff wants to say? Good. Then we can end early today and have a little time. So with that, we are adjourned.